Hi, good evening. It's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim, and we're going to talk and learn together a little bit about the parasha of Pinchas. Now, Pinchas was a real person. He did something that was quite remarkable. We have to remember the background. The background was that Bilam, Melech Moav, the king, he hired Balak, the king. Great way to start. Balak the king hired Bilam the prophet, the non-Jewish prophet, to go and to curse Bnei Yisrael. He understood, he the king, understood that drastic measures were necessary and needed in order to keep his kingdom under control. He was pretty confident that the Jews, that the people of Israel, led by Moshe Rabbeinu, would destroy his kingdom if he didn't try to deal with it. So he hired Bilam to curse the Jews. Now, Bilam was a prophet, a non-Jewish prophet, and that itself is problematic, and we wonder about that. But that was last week's parasha. And he went and he tried to curse Bnei Yisrael, but he was not successful. Every time he spoke words, they came out as a blessing for Bnei Yisrael. Balak got angry. Bilam was incompetent. He was unable. He was a real prophet, but he could not prophesy against the will of God. Okay. There are a variety of questions that connect us to that parasha and what was going on, but the important thing now is that at the end there is a story about Bilam trying to make up his incapacity and give advice to Balak that would surely accomplish the purpose that he was trying to accomplish. What was that? He said, look, take the young girls, the Midianite girls, and have them seduce the Israelite men, and through this seduction to bring them close to idolatry, and that will make them guilty. That will make them guilty of a tragic transgression, and probably they will be punished as a result by God. They will be punished. So Balak said, sure, great idea. Comes from a brilliant mind. Let's do it. And they did it, and then there was, and somehow it would seem that the plan was working, that the girls were being girls, and the men were being seduced, and they were coming close to doing idolatrous, real idolatry, whatever that might be. And it got so bad that even the leaders, so to speak, the Nisi'im, the princes of different tribes, were involved, right? Zimri ben Salu, Cosby, they were involved. So here is our primary personality, Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He was a direct descendant, an immediate descendant of Aaron HaKohen. And Pinchas says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hey, we got to do something. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Pinchas, okay, you go and do it. Why? The conversation turned out to be a conversation in which Moshe Rabbeinu sort of gave in or gave up his authority to Pinchas is a worthy question and what that meant. But before we can deal with that question, we have to think to ourselves, what exactly was it that Pinchas agreed to do? So the psukim on the sheet, right, Perikav Hey, Pasuk Zayin, and on, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas, direct descendant of Aaron HaKohen, Vayakum mitocha Eida, he kind of disconnected himself from the crowd of people who were standing around and watching the devastation of the moral quality of Am Yisrael. Vayakom mitocha Eida, he got up, he separated himself from everybody else. Vayikach romach biyado, and he took a spear. He took a spear in his hand. Yisrael ala kuba. Kuba, Rashi says, is a tent. He went after the Yisraeli, the Jew, in his tent. Vayidkor et shnehem, and he had this spear, and he speared both of them at Ish Yisrael v'et Aisha el kovata v'eyatzer ha-magefa. So he, Rashi says, he speared them in their sexual organs. If you look at the Rashi, you go to the Rashi, el kuba la olel el kubata. Kemo halechayayin vakeva. There's a certain the words that describe the innards of an animal sacrifice. Kevan betoch zachrut shel zimri v'nakvut shela. He speared them in the place of their sexuality, him and her. His name was Zimri, and her name. Her name's not mentioned here, but it's Cosby. V'ra'u kulam shelo lechinam haragam. And Rashi says, Ra'u kulam. They all saw, all the people standing around saw, shelo lechinam haragam. What does Rashi mean? That he didn't kill them for no reason at all. In other words, the problem was, what happened to due process? Isn't it true that Yitro already explained to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu in the book of Dvarim repeats the whole story that a nation needs judicial support. If you don't have a judiciary, I mean, you're not going to have a nation. Everybody's just going to go and do whatever they want. But the Gemara says, you go to somebody else, and you say, "Oh, you stole my money, you took my car, you're living in my house." I mean, there's no way. I mean, so you need a system, and the system is based on edim and hatra'ah, witnesses, hatra'ah, the witnesses involved, and they warn the people against what they're doing. Eidut, Eidim, Hatra. So what was exactly Pinchas' standard? What happened? So Rashi says, look, I know he did something that seems unreasonable. You remember that when they discovered somebody was a Mekoshei Sheitzim, doing something prohibited on Shabbat. So they didn't kill him. Even though the punishment for doing things that are prohibited on Shabbat might be correct, we don't know exactly what he was doing. But they locked him up until Moshe Rabbeinu could consult with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And then, only then was he punished. After the Kodesh Baruch Hu told them what the punishment is for that particular Aveira. So here we have a story about people doing a terrible thing. Zimri, Cosby, terrible people. People who would undermine the very fabric of Am Yisrael. And along comes Pinchas, who represents that fabric, who is the repository of the moral position, of the idea that you don't always know. You're not going to kill people indiscriminately. You're not going to punish people if you don't have witnesses. So what happened? What did Pinchas do? Pinchas said, this is a case that doesn't get to adjudication. I've got to take care of the problem immediately. However, Rashi says, there's got to be certainty. You can't just kill somebody because you think they did something wrong. No, you have to be able to see what they're doing, and the people who are around you, they also have to see it. And that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. V'ra'u kulam, they all saw what they were doing, Cosby and Zimri and Cosby. Shelo lechinam haragum, that the Pinchas did not kill them without having good reason and cause. And not only that, Pinchas knew that if he waited for the due process, that we'd bring lawyers and they'd bring people arguing and who knows, they might have come to the conclusion that they did something wondrous. It was a wonderful thing, peace at our time, two nations getting together. I mean, who says that the legal procedure would be able to support waiting? So this idea that there are moments and moments in time when you can't wait for due process, you can't wait for the judges to make their judgment, because the world is coming apart. That's what's actually happening. The world is coming apart. This possibility, or the action that is taken at that particular time, is to circumvent due process, is called kana'ut, zealotry. Zealotry, Hebrew kana'ut, so that the first kana'i in the world was Pinchas. He consulted with the master of halakha, Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, what can we do? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you better do it. Because if I did it, parentheses, they might say, I had an axe to grind. I wanted to protect my leadership. You do it. You do it. And Pinchas understood what the exact issue was and how he would have to deal with it. So there's a topic in halakha called kana'ut. What is it? What is zealotry? When can you be a zealous about something and you can circumvent due process? When is it not so important to have designated witnesses, but it's enough that everybody knows it? Enough that everybody knows it. So to just gain a little bit of the summary of what a kana'i is, we'll look at the Rambam, how the Rambam teaches us about kana'ut. He says, kol ha-bo'el kutit, anybody who has sexual relations with a non-Jewish woman, bein derech chatnut, bein derech snut, where it doesn't matter if the Jew thinks that he's going to marry this woman. Of course, you know, you can't really marry her, but he intends to live with her. Bein derech znut means occasional and accidental meeting that they had. Im ba'ala b'fehesya, if he sleeps with her in public, v'hu sheyiv'ol einei asaram Yisrael. He says, what does public mean? It means at least 10 people are watching. O yeter, or more than 10. Im pagubo kana'in v'haraguhu. So if kana'in, zealots, take up the cause and kill him, hare elu mishubachin uzrizin, we could only speak of them in the highest tones. So it doesn't take much to understand that these kana'im that the Rambam is talking about is Pinchas. That was exactly Pinchas. Except that we're talking about an individual couple. We're not talking about the spread of this disease over the entirety of the nation. But what we're talking about is the fact that somebody some single person decided to do this terrible thing, and in the manner of Pinchas, whoever's around at that time has to take up the challenge to kill the people involved. B'davar zeh, the Rambam continues to say, halacha l'moshes m'sinai hu. It was taught to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, who ra'yah l'davar zeh ma'aseh Pinchas v'zimri. If you want to know what the proof is that this is really the way it should be done, it's just learn the parasha of Pinchas and Zimri. Halacha Chei. Ve'ein hakanai rashai livkoa bahem ela bishat maaseh. He says, now this kanoi, this person is going to kill the people who are living together. He says, this zealot, ein ha kanoi, the zealot, permitted to harm them only at the time that they're actually doing it, that they're actually having this sexual act. Kizimri shenemar, it says about her, Shenemar, Kizimri, Shenemar, but him, I'm sorry, the Eta Isha El Kubata, that the woman goes into her, like, internal parts, Avalim Pirish, Ein Horgim Otovim Haragon Neheragalav, but if they separated themselves, the two of them, the man and the woman, they're no longer involved, so then you don't have permission to kill them. You don't have permission to kill them. And if the zealot would go to the Beit Din, now since he can't do it on his own, and ask for permission to kill the person who did this, ein morin lo, ein morin lo. So according to the Rambam, the halach of kanoim pogim bo, as it is in the story of Pinchas, is very limited, very narrow. It's a very narrow kind of halacha. You can kill them, but only if you do it while they are involved in the sexual activity themselves. Otherwise, even if you go to the Beit Din, you go to the court, ein morim lo. They don't allow him to do it. V'afo bishu b'shat ma'aseh. And he says if they go to ask him, the Beit Din, they sort of even while he's doing it, the Beit Din can't give him permission to kill them. Velo od ela im ba hakanai laroget aboel. If the kanai, the zealot, came to kill the person who was having the sex, v'nishmat aboel v'haraga kanai kidei latzil atzmo miyado, ein haboel neheragolav. And so you see, there's a case. If the zealot came to kill the person who's having the sexual activity, that Boel falls off somehow and kills the kanoi in order to save himself, ein haboel neherag alav. The Boel, you can't kill him for that because he was defending himself. V'abal bat ger toshav ein hakanoim pogim bo. There's another halachat which we'll hold back on. So now if you go back, so that's the halacha. It developed as a halacha, and even though there aren't many cases where this could actually happen, in the time of Pinchas, it did actually happen. And Pinchas killed the two people who were involved. Everybody saw them, and so they knew what it was about. It was during the time when they were having sex, and not before or after. And the Rambam says, if the kanoi, the zealot, would show up after they had the sex, and the male would roll over and try to kill would try to kill the person who was thinking of killing him, the zealot, he would not be punished
for killing the zealot, because the zealot was about to kill him. So he was defending himself. So you see, there's a very kind of narrow window for the zealot. And in that narrow window, we found Pinchas. We understand. And then the story of Pinchas goes on. It goes on, Pasuk Yud, Vaydeveh Hashem Moshe Lemor, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, HaKohen Heshivit Chamati Me'al B'nei Yisrael. He did a great thing. Heshivit Chamati. Chamati is anger. Me'al B'nei Yisrael. In other words, the anger of HaKadosh Baruch could have wiped out the people of Israel. And just as Moshe Rabbeinu saved B'nei Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, Pinchas saved B'nai Yisrael after this event of Cosby and Zimri. B'kano et kinati b'tocham, he was a kane, he was a zealot. He zealotly applied himself to this. He knew this halacha. V'lo chiliti et B'nai Yisrael b'kinati, and I did not do away with B'nai Yisrael, so that the achievement of Pinchas is clearly stated in the Torah. Clearly stated in the Torah. Let's just look at the... Okay. You'll look at the Rashi yourself. Well, there's one more pasuk that's of note. L'chein emor nini tentein lo et briti shalom. And therefore I give to him my covenant of peace. What's Briti Shalom? What could that possibly be? Briti Shalom, Rashi says, Rashi in Pasuk Yud Bet, Shetehelo Lebrit Shalom, it'll be for him a covenant of peace. Kadam Amachzik Tova, V'chanut L'misha Oseh Imo Tova. If a person... If you do something good for somebody, so he will remember it. The Bisho say Motova. Avkan Pirish La Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalom Motav. So God said to him, to Pinchas, you get something. You get peace. I mean, what do you mean you get peace? I mean, it would be nice if Pinchas got money, or he was protected against the coronavirus. I mean, what is peace? What exactly did he get? What did he get? The last pasuk in this group of psukim, v'hayta lo lizaro acharav, for him and for his descendants, brit kuhunat olam, brit covenant, kuhuna, priesthood, olam forever. Tachat asher kinei le'elohav, since he did this action that he did for God, God did for him. So there are three, God gets something, right? Pinchas gets something, he gets the brit kohanat olam. And B'nai Yisrael, according to the Pasuk, B'nai Yisrael ve'chaper al B'nai Yisrael, somehow this act was enough to atone for the sins of B'nai Yisrael with the Midianite women. The Rashi says, Brit Kehunat Olam. Brit Kehunat Olam. You see in Pasuk Yud Gimel, that Rashi? So Rashi says, Afal Pi, Shekvar Nitna Kehunah Lezaro Shel Aharon, even though we know that Kehuna was given to the inheritor of Aaron, lo nitna ela l'Aaron l'vanav, chenim shechu imo, the brit was given to Aaron and to his sons, who were anointed at the same time, uletoldotehem, sheyolidu achar hamshachatam, and those who will be born after this anointing. Avol Pinchas shenolad kodem lechein, Pinchas was born beforehand, before this anointing, below nimshach, and he was not anointed. lo ba lichlal kuhuna ad kan. He became a Kohen just now. V'chein shaninu bizvachim, in Masechet Zvachim, lo nitkahen Pinchas ad sheharago lizimri. So Pinchas, even though he was from the family of the Kohanim, he was not yet anointed a Kohen when he did this. But when he did this, he became a Kohen. So Pinchas became a Kohen, got the Brit Shalom, was a Kanoi, full of surprises he was. So you wonder, you know, things in the Torah should have meaning for us. It means for us, even though, you know, we read sometimes stories and they're very strange to us, we don't always understand. But in principle, the interpretation that we strive for is an interpretation that makes sense to us, that applies itself to the reality of our situation. So how could they? I mean, like it's impossible. Almost impossible to imagine that the situation of Pinchas, Zimri, and Cosby would reproduce itself exactly in the world in which we live. I don't mean to say that it's not possible, but it's difficult, and besides which there are laws that we have to confront, and we're not in charge of everything. And so what happened to this idea of Kana'ut? So it reminded me, and perhaps we'll look together, to a short section in the Misilat Yesharim. Misilat Yesharim, the 19th chapter, towards the end of the chapter. Now, I don't understand what the Misilat Yesharim is, a book that's based on the idea that if you know all the mitzvot, then you know all the obligations that you have, and you know all the limitations that you have there, mitzvot asay, if you know all of that very well, and if you know what the Gemara said about all of those things, you will be able to expand, to add on, to make a religious life more meaningful in some way or other. That's the Misilat Yesharim. He says you could be a better person, not just by doing the same thing, by doing even more than the same thing. If you recognize that in the Gemara, for example, there are hints at what you could do that would make it even a better functioning mitzvah. So in that book, he says the following: Anav Shlishi Akina, talking about Chassidut. He has a certain kind of vocabulary that he uses. He says there is such a thing as kina. What's kin'ah, according to the Misilat Yesharim? And that's what Pinchas did. He was a mekaneh, sheyeh ha'adam mekaneh l'shem kodesho. That a person could be zealous about the name, the sacred name of God. Soneh et misanav, hates those who hate him. U'mishtadel hachdiyam b'ma sheyuchal, and he tries to overwhelm them in any way that he possibly can. Kidei she'tiye avodato yitbarach naseit ukvodo mitbarei. In order to make sure that the service of God is upheld, ukvodo, and his honor increases. Vu mashikatav David, pasuk in Tehillim, halo misanecha Hashem esna. I hate those who hate you, uvedikol b'mecha, et kotet, and those who stand up against you, I will fight them. Tachlit sinas neitim. I hate them as fully as I could possibly hate them. Ve'eliyahu amar, and there's a pasuk in Melachim, kane kaneti l'shem tzva'ot. I was full of kin'ah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw what Eliyahu reaped as a result of his kin'ah. Gimamar hakatuv, tachat asher kinei leilohav, vayechaper al b'nei Yisrael. He was zealous about God, and he atoned for b'nei Yisrael. Ligu Chazal, and Chazal have already said, Lidaber b'mishe yesh biyado limchot ve'no mocheh, that if you see somebody who's doing something wrong and you have the opportunity to give him mussar, to tell him, but you don't tell mussar, the gazru dino b'tafes ba'avon achotim atzmo. So what might happen is that he will be susceptible to doing that very same avira, that same transgression that he didn't want to call his friend out on. Well, he's going to end up doing it himself. So according to the Mesilat Yesharim, he has a good idea. It's an idea that kin'ah still exists for each one of us. And there are certain things, there are certain principles for which you have to fight really hard for. You can't sort of like assume that you'll be forgiven for not fighting, right? Everybody has a little bit of Pinchas in them. Everybody knows that there's a limit. Some things I have to stop. I can't allow them to continue. Some things are like that. And so Pinchas left us a legacy. And that legacy is kana'ut. The fact that sometimes you have to act without due process. Sometimes you have to make sure that the basic principles by which you live are not being altered. Sometimes you have to be able to grab on to the truth and act accordingly. That was Pinchas. That was the lesson. That's what the Mesilas Yesharim is pointing to. Have a wonderful Shabbos. I'll see you next week. Oh.